speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, round about whom is a mighty storm.
God calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that the people may be judged.
Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness, for God alone is judge.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I rend, and there will be none to deliver.
Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who order their way aright, I will show the salvation of God.
And now the Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 10 through 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which we saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of your God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here ends the reading.
Wow, what a crowd this morning. Thanks, Ella. Hi, Jack. Come on and sit down. Oh, come on up, Fancy. How are you this morning? You look lovely. All right. Well, one of the verses that Pastor Zach is going to talk about this morning, later on, and what his message about today. Angie needs to put on her glasses. Is kind of one of those verses that I think Jesus uses to tell us a story. And at first, the words sound like you know what they're doing, and then you got to look deeper. And it's talking about where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Jack, what do you think of something, what do you have that you treasure, that like you think is very important or very special to you? What something is a treasure to you?
Family.
Your family? Wow, that's a good answer. Ella, how about you? What's something that you have at home that you're like, that is my treasure, that's like my favorite thing? Family. Oh, good answers. Do you have a treasure?
Out of the mouths of babes.
Nope, but not books.
Books. I'm with you. Books is great. How about you, Luke?
My
Family.
Okay. You guys are all going to say the practiced answers. Okay. Well, what we sometimes think about as treasures are things, are stuff, you know? And in my family, you could think of, the kids might think of their treasures. This is probably one of Grace's treasures. It's her sketchbook. And this is very important to her. She keeps it safe. She doesn't show a lot of people, but that's an important treasure to her. These are Luke's ribbons from his pigs this summer. And for him, those are pretty important, especially this one here, because his pig ate it. So that is pretty important, and that's a treasure to him. Annie collects snow globes, and we have all kinds of snow globes from all over the world, places her daddy's traveled or her grandma, and this is one of her favorite places in the world is Mickey Mouse. And so she would probably consider her treasures her snow globes. Sammy, and if Dawson were here, he'd know, but Jack and Brighton know. Sam is a Lego Star Wars crazy guy, isn't he? And all his treasures, his Star Wars treasures, his Harry Potter, his Legos are probably something he would think. And then, kind of for me, I was thinking, this was a crown I got, I won. And I look at it, I keep it close. It's just like my crown. It's kind of old and dusty, but it's something I treasure because it reminds me of a really special time in my life. Then I was thinking about my bracelet. This was a spoon of my grandma's, and they pounded it and made it into a bracelet so that I could keep that treasure with me all the time. This is probably something Dave would think is a treasure. This was his grandpa's kerchief that he wore when he worked on the farm, and that would be something that Dave would hold on to. I have another treasure that is from my grandma, and it looks kind of old and beat up, but it has a comb from her hair. And then I have a ticket from a movie, one of the first movies Dave and I went to see, and then our ticket to the Polar Express, and then a pin that I got from Sam from the Secret Santa shop. And that's like a big treasure to me. Yeah. So I'm sure you guys gave me something. And then this is something, it's kind of crazy. Hold this. This sat on my grandma's table forever, and we never got to really touch it or play with it. And one day, she finally said I was old enough to hold it and look in it. And I thought, oh my gosh, it'll be full of money or gold or something. And you know what was in it? Her marbles. She was a major marble shooter, whatever you call it. She loved to play marbles. And it also turned out that it was a music box. And when I turned 21 and graduated from college, she gave it to me. And I was like, this is one of my favorite treasures. But if you look around at my pile I got going here, and we talked about some of the stuff, you guys were good. You talked about treasures that are your family. But some of us think about treasure as just stuff. Look around, this is all stuff. But when we have our relationship with God, if we keep our eye on God, we don't need this stuff. We need to have our heart with him and our focus on Jesus. So, there you go. Shall we say an echo prayer together? Dear God, thank you for all the blessings of stuff.
Thank you for all the blessings of stuff.
But thank you more for the chance.
Thank you more for the chance. To put our heart with you. Help us keep focused.
On our love and our relationship.
And our love and our relationship.
With you.
With you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And now the New Testament reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds we prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he strayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation. And though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as God as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received these promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who seek in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Here ends the reading.
Now we continue to worship God as we orient our...
If you would please rise for the gospel reading at this time. The gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, there where no thief comes near or no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Here ends the reading.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for the treasures of wisdom and discernment and knowledge and love and truth that we find in your word. Let your word speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit afresh today in the mighty name of Jesus, so that we will walk away from today knowing that we, your children, are your treasure for eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Treasure. Treasure, what does that bring to mind to you? It makes me think of pirates. Our buried treasure. I remember taking a trip to the Chicago Field Museum, and they had a pirates exhibit.
And they were real-life pirates. And they were a ragtag group, a very diverse group of people who were devoted to kind of a code of living together, and they were kind of the outcasts of society. They were on the margins. And they found themselves plundering and looting and going from place to place. But they were a community, kind of a floating community, and they would get treasure and they would go find a place, you know, to bury it. That didn't happen as often as people thought. But at this exhibit, they actually had some buried treasure that they unearthed. And I thought, wow, buried treasure. And Jesus, in other gospels, he talks about treasure and how the kingdom of God is like a treasure that someone finds in a field. And they dig it up and they find it, but then they put it back. And then they go and get everything. They sell everything they've got to buy that land. And then they unearth the treasure again. Or he talks about how the kingdom of God is like a priceless pearl that a diver finds and sells everything he has to get that pearl. The kingdom of God is a treasure. You know, we heard in the past couple weeks about how we need to pray to God and ask God to give us the Holy Spirit that he delights to give us. Or how how Jesus says, this is right before our reading today. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 12 and Luke 29. A lot of our insecurities we've learned about possessions and being curved in on ourselves from that wrong orientation of our heart to greed that makes us selfish and not thinking of others. Our insecurity with our possessions and not having enough or finding security in our possessions. Jesus exposes this beginning in verse 29. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat or what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. See, the Father loves to give us his Holy Spirit. And we should seek after our Father in heaven through Jesus to receive that Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what opens us up and makes us be able to receive and have capacity for this kingdom of God that is like a treasure. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is his right relationship with you and I and with creation, his holiness, his goodness. And all these things shall be added unto you, as we sang earlier. And here we come to today's verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, just as he was pleased to give us the Holy Spirit when we ask, to give us now the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Don't just sell your possessions to make more money. Sell your possessions so that you can build more relationships, so that you can give generously and graciously to the poor beyond even your tithe and your offering. Because an alm is a giving of an offering that is dedicated, it's earmarked for the poor. That's what alms are. Kind of like our emergency outreach fund that we receive funds for to help and bless people in our community and build relationships with them that help connect them with Jesus. He says, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. Now this is interesting because when we hear this for yourselves language, in our Ten Commandments class, we've heard it in the second commandment. Do not make for yourselves an idol. But here Jesus says, make for yourselves purses that do not wear out. You know, this past year, my wallet had so many holes that the money was falling out of it. And for Christmas, my wife got me a new wallet, a new purse to keep my funds in. And Jesus is talking about making a treasure that does not wear, or a purse that does not wear out. And this is for yourself, for your own benefit. But it's so we can be a blessing to others, because he says, an unfailing treasure. In other words, a treasure that won't let you down. You know, some people today, they have their funds in retirement. And because of the economy and the fluctuations, your retirement funds can depreciate and you can lose their value. Or your home can depreciate as it ages if you don't keep it up. But Jesus is talking about an unfailing treasure that will not depreciate, but will continue to appreciate, will continue to be more valuable to us and to you, to have more impact for your life today. An unfailing treasure in heaven. Not just far off pie in the sky when we get to heaven after we die, but in heaven, that is, in the uninterrupted presence of God. That we build treasures for ourselves that build relationships with God and with others. And strengthen our awareness of God in the way that we treat others. And Jesus warns, he says, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. That is, there's no decay. That your investment is safe in the kingdom of God. When you invest your life in the kingdom of God, your investment is secure. It's in good hands where no strong man or thief is going to come in and take what you have invested, what you have given, what you have offered up to God. And we're not only to offer God our material gifts. When we become United Methodists or as Christians in our church, we commit to offering God as good stewards. We give God, let's say this together, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We give God ourselves. So when we invest in our relationship with God and we invest in our relationship with others in light of that relationship with God, we are giving ourselves eternal security through the Holy Spirit's work in us. That we are preparing not just for the present, but for our future. Our future in heaven with eternity, or in eternity with God, but also in our present to be more present with others. Because we're not insecure about our possessions. We're not living in this lie of scarcity, but we're living in the truth of the kingdom of God in abundance, of abundant love, abundant grace, abundant opportunities, abundant forgiveness, abundant freedom, abundant growth, not to be bigger or better, but abundant growth to be more pure and holy and authentic and real, to be who God created us to be. Isn't that good news, friends? If so, can I hear an amen? Amen. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And while we like to think that our hearts are always in heaven with God, the truth is, they're not. Our hearts are prone to wandering. As the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That we have to surrender our hearts to God. Because if left on our own, we're kind of like that wallet with holes and flies in it. It doesn't hold much. Or as Jeremiah says, we're like cracked cisterns that can't hold water. In verse 35, Jesus goes on to say why this is important. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But then he turns and says, this has urgency. He says, look at verse 35. He says, be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet. So that, and here's the purpose, they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Our master is Jesus. He's saying, be dressed for action. Or in the language of the King James, it says, gird up your loins. Now that's a weird phrase, but what that means is you pull up, you know, they wore tunics back then. You pull up your tunic and you're ready to go on the run if you have to get going. Or if you have to take action. So you pull up your tunic. You gird up your loins. Be dressed for action. It's kind of like when you wake up If you wanted to, when you go to school, the first day of school, the night before, you have all your clothes on when you're ready, so you're not going to be late for school. You throw off your bed, and you're ready to go. Pop on your shoes and get out the door. Well, you probably want to brush your teeth first, and eat breakfast. But be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. So Jesus is going to come and knock in our everyday lives. That our possessions, when they make us focused on ourselves and not others, they're a distraction. They become a waste of time. They become a source of worry. They drain us. But when our possessions become opportunities to bless others, when the abundant love and resources and wealth that God gives us to share his kingdom, it becomes an opportunity to be more present with people, to be in the moment, to act and be ready. I love it in one of my favorite verses in 1 Peter, chapter 1, 13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds, or in the King James, gird up your loins for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires you formerly had in ignorance. Those desires to find our security in our possessions. Those desires to feel like we're not enough and we always need more. Those selfish desires that forget about others. He says, instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Our Father in heaven wants to give us the Holy Spirit when we ask him and we plead with him and we're persistent in our prayers to him, acknowledging our need. And he wants us to seek the kingdom of God so that we don't depreciate our investment in our everyday lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our neighbors, even in making peace with our enemies. And John Wesley had a good approach, and you might have heard this before, but John Wesley, when he's talking about wealth, he's talking about money. He had kind of three steps, and we hear all kinds of steps about wealth building today, but here's what he had to say. He says, number one, gain all you can. Work hard. Receive the bounty that God wants to give you for your labors and from the generosity of others. Two, save all you can. Not to hoard it up as a surplus for yourself like that fool who wanted to tear down his barns so he could build larger barns to put his crops and his stuff and sit around and say, eat, drink, and be merry, soul. You've got the good now. And then God says, you fool, your life is being demanded of you on this very night. And all your stuff, what's that going to get you? No. He's saying, earn all you can, save all you can, so that you can have your, so you can be ready for action. You can be ready to give. That's the third one, to give all you can, so that the wealth that God gives you, the resources that God gives us as a church, we can be ready and primed for action to help people in need and show them the kingdom of God that has come to them today. That when we earn all we can, we save all we can, and we give all we can. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver, as the Apostle Paul tells us. That we can be a blessing to others, and we can see the kingdom of God, and we can build new relationships with people who can know Jesus Christ, so we can have eternal relationships that don't wear out. That we are storing up treasures in heaven by the way we treat one another, and by the way we steward what we have been given. This is good news, friends. That our buck can go a lot longer than we think it can. That we underestimate our capacity to be a blessing for others. And we underestimate how truly blessed we are. And even when we give to those who are in poor and need materially, they are blessed to give us hospitality in return and to be reconnected, and we form a new community with them. We become larger people. So Wesley taught to earn all you can, to save all you can, so that you can give all you can. And we learn today from Jesus that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So that's what I want us to know today. I want you to know that you, that we, that this world of people hurting, broken, ashamed, at war with one another, despite all that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This proves God's love for us. Signed, sealed, and delivered. In Christ, we are His. That we are God's eternal treasure that He was willing to lay down His life for. That we were the buried treasure that was found by Jesus. And He paid it all so He could own everything and have access to us. You are that treasure. And we get to experience that investment that Jesus has made in our lives, and He gets to see it appreciate through His grace and His Holy Spirit when we come together for this forever feast we call Holy Communion. This is the return on our investment and God's investment in us, that we get to receive a holy community that does not wear out, that does not fade away, that the world cannot take away from us. We have been given the gifts of confession and pardon and forgiveness. We have been given the tools that we need to be a community of love and grace and gratitude and humility that this world has forgotten how to be. When we get to come to this table today, we get to practice what all of the buried, all the treasure that's buried in our hearts that God has sown into us through the gospel is all about. We get to enter the reality of God's love for us and know that the kingdom of God is to be our treasure, but we are God's treasure. So now at this time, let us stand as we prepare for ourselves for Holy Communion. And so may you know today that where your treasure is, there your heart is also, but that your treasure and your heart can be safe in the kingdom of God in heaven and here on earth through the Holy Spirit's work in us. May you feel conviction from the Holy Spirit that leads you to be grateful for all that God has given you through His Holy Spirit and through the resources that we have been blessed with in His abundant kingdom. And may you be moved into action of generosity and grace with your neighbors as you treasure your relationships here in our community. Amen.